So a very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Is it page 74? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 2.1.
The 2.1, the opening verse by Master Xuan Hua. Reversing the light to shine within. 回光返照, Allah Avalokiteshvara vows to enlighten all the sentient beings. Thus he is a bodhisattva. His mind is thus unmoving, Ru Ru Budong, a superior one at peace. With total understanding of the ever shining, he is host and master. The first line of the above verse is very important because most of the time our mind dwells outside to chase after externals. The external experience that created the phenomenal world of ours. This is also the reason why the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that our mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when the mind arises. In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within so that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. This is reversing the light to shine within. 回光返照. Only then can we be aware of our content of consciousness within our mind, i.e. how our mind are stirred by external and conditioned into clinging and grasping after externals created by mind via our delusion and mental aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara and Vijnana. You will start to understand how thoughts and feelings arise in your mind with every moment of sense door consciousness and how they condition each other, how your thoughts with its conditionings, view and opinions condition your feeling, and then how this feeling becomes craving or emotion to condition your subsequent wrong thought thinking. All this, if you are not careful or heedful, if you have not developed the wisdom of Yoniso Manasikara to enable you to see things as they are, clinging and grasping will continue to arise and dukkha or suffering will be the end result. The next verse, with total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master.
So this sentence is very important. You see, Master Xuan Hua, in his sharing, he said, with total understanding of the ever-shining, what is the ever-shining? Your true mind, the pure awareness nature. When you are there, you are like the host and master. You know why you are the host and the master? In the Zen tradition, they got this analogy. The innkeeper. You know who is the innkeeper or not? Or use the word hotel better, instead of INN, hotel owner. Maybe he hire the general manager, different. But the owner, if he is the owner, they use the word in is because in the ancient day in China, the innkeeper are the owner himself. It is a small version of a holiday home or mini hotel. So this innkeeper is always there, understand not? Then the guests of the hotel or the inn, they come and they go, yeah. Correct or not? That's why he is the host, understand not? He's the owner, understand not? He never come, he never go, understand not? Those come and go are the guests of the hotel or the inn. Can you understand? Then you reverse it and transfer it, 回光返照, and replace it with your five basic senses. Sense basis plus your six sense door. It's like you got six hotel rooms, understand? And who are the guests of the hotel room? The sense data that come in, isn't it? They are the host. They are the guests. of the room that you have. And this gas is different from the world yuan. Our world yuan, some they come, they rent for 1 hour, 2 hour, also have half a day, also have 1 day, then some a few days. But our gas, when it come into the sense door, through the sense bases, they come in and within split second is gone. Understand? They don't stay overnight. So that is the big deal. But without mindfulness, you cannot see. So whatever that come in and go, they are the guests of the inn or hotel. So why you bother about them? Understand? As long as you are the owner, you play your role as the owner. That's why he say, when you realize the ever-shining, your pure awareness nature, your true mind, then you become the host. You are not worried about how the guests come into the hotel. Means this so-called mundane mind with its six sense bases is like the hotel. So when you reverse the light, means when you return all this external form and mundane thinking to the pure awareness, then you see it very clearly. Understand? As the host, when you are here, you can see who come into your room. Understand? The six sense bases. Then what they do to you, then how they went off. So if you are the host, whatever happened, you remain the host. Understand? It's not your problem. Understand? This one that doesn't understand create a lot of problem. Like your normal hotel, a lot of guests that come in, not easy to deal with one. Complain a lot one. Understand? So when you see this, then when they complain and disturb you, then you stir your mind and get angry. That's how you become emotional. Then sometimes you project into the future, you develop fear, envy, jealousy, hatred, all the emotion. All this need not be if you have the Dhamma understanding. You can be at peace with every situation. Because the host is just the pure awareness nature. It is the undying element, ever shining before the arising of all this. So when you know that this is the illusionary form and mind that is dependent, originating, condition arising, come and go, then with the wisdom you develop, you saw how they make you miserable, then retrospectively, with the right view, right understanding, you reverse all this. Then you remain at peace. This mundane mind that has the understanding, yoniso manasakara, also can be at peace. Understand not? That's why this one know how to live life, where you understand life. Now you read on, you will understand better. Oh, my God is back. I see Tammy haven't recovered from the breath. The breath is still, because just now she must be busy. Yeah, let Manyan continue.
Can
I? Can then you continue? Because just now I thought you were grasping for breath.
Yeah, I was coming back.
Oh, okay.
So, second paragraph. The next verse, with total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master. The word host is synonymous to the owner or innkeeper. The ever-shining is our Buddha nature. Imagine oneself as a hotel with six rooms. The six sense bases are like your six rooms, and the sense data or external forms are like the guests of your mind. For example, the guests of your seeing consciousness are colors, shapes, and forms. Vibrations like sound, music, noise, etc. are guests of your hearing consciousness. These guests of the mind are not like human beings because they cannot talk or complain, so it is a lot easier to manage this hotel if one is not deluded. The host is always there to receive the guests of the mind. They will come and go, hence they are impermanent. As guests, they are here to stay for a while, only, and most of the time they stay for split seconds only. But because of your delusion, you cling onto them as memories and give them meaning so that they can stay for longer period of time, thereby causing you all the miseries and suffering, at times leading to depression.
Mm, you know how they stay longer inside you, right? Because of your deluded, heedless thinking, your sakayadhiti, you hold on to them, you know? You say, this is my problem. Then you cling on to them, you keep on thinking about them. That's why they stay inside you very long. So instead of staying in the room, after contact, the five basic senses, they stay in your consciousness, your mundane consciousness, the mind all that. There, they dwell very long. But you yourself cling on to them, hold on to them without understanding. And because of that, it has power over you. That's why it can stir your mind, cause you to react, cause you to develop a lot of negative emotion. And all this is truly avijja, ignorant. That's why you every time avijja paccaya sankhara think. Sankhara paccaya vijnana, before the vijnana can be seen, immediately you input the content of consciousness, nama rup. Then the whole citta or consciousness, then you got moral, immoral. Then from there, your views, opinion, conditioning, habitual tendency, from there you act, your belief system, etc., including your fear, your insecurity, your whatever negativity or mind state or emotion. So that is how you get yourself entangled. That's how you actually keep them there very long, until you enter depression or go cuckoo. So wake up. These guests of the mind, sense data, they are not as bad as a human being. They don't know how to complain. Like the human being, they complain a lot. But this one don't know how to complain. But you yourself deludedly allow it to have power over you, you know, and deceive you into holding on to them, clinging on to them, and reacting with your views, opinion, and conditioning. That's why the memory is the one that created the karmic conditioning for all this karmic activity to manifest. That's why the Buddha saw, then he realized, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So now when you understand this, just wake up, understand or not? That's why the right view is to accept the reality of the moment. Condition like that, things will like that. Learn to see things as they are. Then be at peace. Then you become the host, understand or not? Ever shining. Stay here. Heedful, ever mindful. That is what meditation is all about. Not get lost in the mundane thinking, understand? Creating all the mundane activity leading to conflict, misunderstanding, war, misery, suffering. And this is what the Noble Truth is all about. Noble Truth or Dukkha. How did dukkha arise? Where the mundane mind doesn't understand the Dhamma. Don't have yoniso manasikara, understand not? Then the mundane mind doesn't understand there is a cause behind suffering. What is the cause? Craving, born of what? Sakayaditi. That's why you must break sakayaditi. Then when you break sakayaditi, you have a glimpse of nibbana. Then you come to know the form of mind is not real, not you. Then from there, that glimpse is enough for sainthood, enlightenment. That's why the third noble truth, enlightenment in the here and now is possible. Suffering need not be. Then after that, you continue to cultivate noble eightfold path, to develop the perfection of wisdom, to liberate the mind so that you can become arahant and beyond. Understand? Right? That's how the teaching comes about. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, continue, tell me.
If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then it can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allows them to come and go by perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom or right view, and also how he suffers and becomes miserable when he perceives them with negativity via his own wrong views and sakkaya ditthi, to develop the wisdom to understand to grasp and cling onto them via wanting things his way. This will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not react, when he is always peaceful, then he is always peaceful
and is not disturbed by the guests of the mind. I read la better. Then life is wonderful and meaningful, and the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times. Understand or not? You know why quite fun? Because when you realize true emptiness, life is wonderful existence. Understand or not? That's why at times I put here, the guest of the mind can be quite fun, really fun. You can be with the moment to experience and realize the pristine beauty and wonder of the moment. And everything is so pristine or so beautiful. This is the way things are, understand? Not whole day worry here, worry there, planning this, planning that, get emotional, react to this, react to that. What are you doing? That is not life, understand? That is suffering, misery. So you allow them to come and go, so difficult, man? Yeah? It's not difficult, is it? But a lot of you, before you understand the Dhamma, how can my wife know every day taro me? That guy actually deceived me, cheat me before, no. How can I forgive him? Then you create a lot of your own deluded thinking through your wrong view. And you like to actually think about this and react and stir your mundane mind and get yourself entangled. That is what I mean by you don't know how to use the mind. So you use it like the knife to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and to hit out at others. You don't believe me, you check. Most people do that. That is your tool or mind to live life. No, stay at the pure awareness level. Be aware and be with the moment to experience the reality of life. And so that moment without thought interfering, without the mind stirring and reacting. And that pristine beauty and wonders of life within that moment, fully aware, is so beautiful. Like the Zen analogy, drinking a cup of tea, if you understand, is Zazen. You know what is Zazen now? Huh? Zen meditation. So Zazen means you can be with the pure awareness nature, fully aware. When you are fully aware without thought, means what? What did thought do? Huh? Create fear, worry, anxiety, duality, sorrow, lamentation, misery, and input the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion until the karmic negativity all arise. See, is that what you want? Use your mind properly, understand or not? If you love yourself, understand or not? There's a human being never love yourself. If you love yourself means what? If you, let's say, mother or parent, you have your children. You love yourself is the same as you love your children. What will you do? You go all out to protect the children, isn't it? So that he or she is not harmed, isn't it? But what are you doing to yourself? You never protect yourself, no. You allow your own thought to make you so miserable and hit out at others to create so much negative karma, no? Means you are not protecting yourself. To protect yourself, you need heedfulness, understand or not? Mindfulness, awareness, to see all this, understand, and straighten your view, like Po Ching realized. Straighten your view. Once you straighten your view, you don't have to do anything. Correct or not? Because you are the host, ever shining, so bright, so beautiful. And that is true emptiness. No? Because inside there, nothing. No? He know you, he know me. But witnessing everything that happened outside. No? And you know that there is a nature's law that governs all this movement. That's why you only echo and flow. Then you do your duty. Because that form of mind outside is karmically conditioned, subject to karma. So when you understand this, you have complete understanding of the cultivation. Then you can free your mind. You can break free. So this analogy which the Zen like to use is very beautiful. And I try to put it into word to explain to you so that you understand. If you still don't understand, you better go back and read again and again. Because this passage, I tell you, can awaken you. So I just go through again, the last paragraph. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, means you reverse all the external. Because your senses always pick up the external sense data. And do you realize your mundane mind is always outside? Understand? Clinging, grasping, associated with the seeing. I see, therefore I am. Then through views, opinion, you react. You are always outside, chasing after nice music, nice sound, chasing after career, money, then beautiful sight and sound, all those things. But when it is not so nice, the senses pick up one, like the handphone, somebody don't know how to call. If it can disturb you, means you are not a cultivator, understand? Well, that is the reality. The person that leave it there doesn't know. Maybe asleep, didn't hear. Then sometimes they hear, they don't know how to off, understand? That's why Papa Surya to come out and say, you don't know how to keep, handle your phone. She help you to keep until after the retreat. But no, we are not going to take it from you. Learn how to switch it off. This is a small matter, nothing to worry. Then for the cultivator, check your mind. If that thing can make you unhappy and disturbed, then you are far from having the understanding, understand? Because small things like that also can make you miserable. What if it's a real thing that affects you personally? This is only some noise, understand? Sense data, gas of the mind, they will come and they will go, understand? Sooner or later, it will cease. Because of causes and conditions, they arise. So contemplate, reflect. Then you can be at peace with all things. That is the way things are. That is how you develop kanti, understand not? Patience. Then you will have patience with everything that arises. Then you will not be always like hot temper, just want to get your way, develop the craving to want things your way. If you do that, you don't understand the Dhamma. So now I read on, then you understand. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, means you go in, look within, then it can stay aware inside. This word, aware inside, means stay with the true mind, the pure awareness nature. Then use it to observe and see clearly how peaceful, I put the he with the inverted comma, where it's not a being, understand? The he is the host, is. When he just allow them to come and go. True or not? What is that pure awareness? Tranquility, stillness, peacefulness, understand or not? Nothing burning, nothing agitate you. You just have to, like I say, relax, aware. Don't do anything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Remain, be the host. Got owner of the hotel, you don't want to be the owner. You want to become that mundane mind. And that mundane mind, I tell you, can give you a lot of suffering, can give you a lot of problem when you don't understand. So when you allow it to come and go, we are perceiving them with wholesomeness. This is very important. Means no negativity. If you perceive it, negativity means what? You cannot accept the reality of the moment, understand not? Because thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha say, condition that things will be like that. Then why do you perceive your negativity based on right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome? All these are duality created by my idea, ideology, understand not? And all these ideas are man-made, not wisdom. So when you understand, you perceive them with wholesomeness and wisdom, means with the right view, born of Dhamma cultivation. And also how he suffered, where you saw it with the pure awareness within, and become miserable when he perceived them with negativity, via their own wrong view and sakkaya ditti, to grasp, cling onto them, give meaning, via wanting things your way. Understand or not? So this one is very clear, isn't it? When you perceive something with negativity, it means you want things your way. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. So when this happens, it will condition you to grasp and cling and give meaning to all this. That's why you get yourself deluded. It has power over you and can cause suffering in you. Then this will enable, if you can do that, let it come and go, this will enable him, the host, I put in inverted comma, to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling, grasp or react and stir his mind, then he is always peaceful and is not disturbed by the guests of the mind, the sense data. Then life becomes wonderful and meaningful. That is the meaning of zhen kong miao yu. When you realize true emptiness, life becomes wonderful. Miao, what is the English word equivalent? Miao. Wonderful doesn't give the full meaning. Means very beautiful. Miao, and miao. Existence become beautiful, meaningful. Of course, you can add in the word wonderful. You are a wonderful person. Nice. And the guest of the mind can also become quite fun at times. When you have the pure awareness, the Dhamma understanding, you can live life to the fullest. The life of enlightened being, Pativeda. And all these are possible. Okay? Yeah. How come you all rejoice also dare not do it loudly? With faith and all those things. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. What is going on? After so many reasons. You remember my first teacher, Ajayantra. Before he finished his talk, I will rejoice for him. I in charge of recording one. And when I was in Australia, he told the Thai devotee, you know, he said, he called me Mr. Teo, and the family, beautiful, he said. They have the Dhamma, he said. They very patient, he said. Because he realized, before the talk ends, I'm the one who sadhu. He said he liked to rejoice. Because he can understand the Dhamma. So rejoicing is a meritorious action, meritorious deed. Free. You don't know how to receive it or accumulate it. What are you doing? It's like, it's like you see money drop on the floor. You don't know how to pick it up. You know the previous retreat I told the Kayamita one. Everywhere is Dhamma gem, no, understand? No? In the midst of life and existence. But you don't know how to pick them. You don't know how to collect them. You don't know how to receive them. You are too busy entangled with the mundane thinking, understand? The reasoning lah, the argument lah, the conflict lah, then react bosong lah. Everything also you want thing your way. That's why you bosong lah, understand? You want to song, accept things as they are lah. That every moment also song peaceful. Understand or not? Okay? Continue. Tell me.
2.2 important notes. 1. Hosts always there to stay, but guests they come and go. 2. You hold the key to your own life's destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy depends entirely on your own choice. Then why are you not happy? If we choose to be happy, then no one can make us unhappy unless we ourselves allow ourselves to be unhappy via our own delusion.
True or not? Then you want this to be repeated or not? Then wake up lah. But when it comes to actual life, when you confront something, this thing initially haven't stabilized in you, understand or not? That's why you cannot do it, understand or not? That's why you have to stabilize the awareness, the mindfulness, and develop the understanding until you become very stable. Then all this you will understand. We discuss again. You hold the key to your own life destiny. So to be happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. To choose to be happy also don't know. Deluded or not? Then the next question is, if it's so simple, then why are there so many people in the world unhappy? You mean they don't know how to choose? What is your understanding? They don't know this type of teaching, understand? This type of Dhamma. If you know, you dare to choose Dhammapada verse 1 or not? And remain heedless or not? You should strive on with heedfulness to train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, so that you won't fall into this karmic negativity and suffering. That is how you choose, understand? So you choose to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. It's like you actually fear heedlessness. The moment you are not heedful, not mindful, that is hell. Understand? My last guy told me what now? He said, Tio? He asked me where I return my awareness. I said, here. He said, slightly to the left. He initially said wrong, no? But slightly to the left. Well, he held my hand. He know I got sati and all those things. Then he told me, luckily you say here. If you tell me here, you know what is this? Hell. H-E-L-L. Hell. This is your memory, understand? That's why Krishnamurti also know acting according to memory is what? Not acting at all, because this is the whole rubbish is up there. Your selfishness, your anger, your hatred, your fear, your delusion, your phobia, whatever negative emotion, they are all accumulated there. And when you act according to that, that is not true action. Because you act according to your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, your views, opinion, and conditioning. And that is not action. When you act according to your selfishness, emotional negativity, that is not action. If you don't act according to memory, then as a human being, how do you act? How do you act? Act following the Dhamma way. Means what? Following Noble Eightfold Path, which will develop the wisdom. That's why you act according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way, which is cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. Not until you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path and have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, you cannot be an enlightened being. But enlightened being is an Arya, a noble one. Very noble in all aspects of life. Right view means understanding of life. Then they have beautiful, noble qualities like right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living life, right livelihood or living. Then they will diligently cultivate the four right efforts. Then they are ever mindful. Always with sati and samadhi. That's why when you have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path, you definitely become an Arya. You are a noble one with all these noble qualities. So now can understand, huh? Okay. So learn how to understand this and act. Then love yourself. You don't love yourself, you don't know how to act. Understand? Huh? So because they don't have this teaching, they don't know what is going on. That's why they choose to be happy, also no use. They choose to be successful, also no use. They don't know that there is this karmic law that governs everything that arises. So you must know the law of karma to work towards it. Means without negativity, you work towards it, then you can realize things that you want it to arise or manifest. So all this understanding is very important. So if you don't develop them, then you cannot. But the other aspect is, even as Buddhists, a lot are Buddhists by religious label. No? I Buddhist, no. I vegetarian, no. Does that carry any meaning? No meaning, isn't it? Well, that is your religious label. It's like all the profession of the act, understand? No? You're an engineer? You're a lawyer? It's a lawyer better. You think all lawyers are professional? That labor. You know lawyer, they can argue until the other side, both sides also they can argue. They want you to be free, they got a set of rules and law. They want you to be go jail, they also got one set. So as lawyer, they got black sheep in the community. You understand or not? Black sheep. You know what is black sheep or not? Those not following the profession or not. But labor wise. So you say I'm a Buddhist, or I'm vegetarian, or but to be worthy of the Buddha, you don't even follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, or and train your mind to be heedful, and you call yourself a Buddhist, or got meaning or not? Huh? Got meaning or not? No meaning, isn't it? At least to be worthy of him, follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. But you all never learn that, not you all, most Buddhists never learn the teaching. And because they never learn the teaching, although they are Buddhists, they are as good as they are not Buddhists. Understand? That's why this Dhamma doesn't really penetrate their nature and let them develop the understanding. If they have this understanding, if they choose to be happy, they will be always happy. Understand? Huh? The moment 71, when I saw the Four Noble Truths, I no need to choose. I said, that's it. No need to search. How come I can do that? Well, I understand all this, how it happened and how it can actually be so dangerous and detrimental to human life. That's why when you have the understanding, actually very straightforward. Why must you choose? You know what Krishnamurti say? Yeah? The famous say, wherever there is choice, there is what? Confusion means your mind is confused. Why must you choose? Thing is just the way it is, no? No right, no wrong, no. You choose for what? But you may also counter me, Brother Teo say, hey, you hold the key to your own life destiny. Means you have a choice to be happy or unhappy, it's your choice. Choose wisely. That is before you know the Dhamma, understand or not? That's why you have to choose, understand or not? After you know the Dhamma, you have to choose or not? You take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Still got to choose. That's why I travel spiritual trip, you ask Ingbi and all the Kalimita, and say, although I fix a program, I go there, I accord with causes and conditions, understand? I can change my program. Because the sign will come and show it to you. You don't have to choose, understand? Life and death also no need to choose one. Kai lai jiu hui lai. Kai zou jiu hui zou. Those who don't know Mandarin, if there is condition and affinity for things to arise, for you to receive it, it will come to you. If you don't have the affinity and the karmic inheritance to receive, sometimes put in front of you, near your mouth, before you eat also disappear. You know the pitta. Pitta. Mongalana uses psychic. Go to the mother. Create through magic the food. The moment it enters her mouth, it becomes hot, burning, molten, charcoal, I don't know what you call it. Cannot, be karmic, it will obstruct you. If it's yours, it will be yours. If it's not yours, no matter how, it will not be yours. So a lot of people who have the Dhamma understanding will understand it. That's why they never choose. But don't get me wrong. In life, you don't make a so-called choice when there is a need to make the decision. Like your wife asks you, hey, go or not go? That retreat, or not to say retreat, that holiday. Maybe Switzerland and all those things. Then you have to tell your spouse. He said, depend, see how. If there is condition, I sure take you on. You're so nice. Then, not so bad. But you straight away say, no. I don't have so much money. Switzerland, no. You think cheap. Then finish. Argue idea. So this is what worldly condition is. In the mundane existential world, people make choice. Understand? That's why you must develop the third sashna si, kan san yu si san. If you want to choose, let her choose. Oh, want to go? Okay. I see how. You got condition, no problem. I should take you there. Understand? And then it resolved it. There will not be any more misunderstanding and conflict. Where is, after all, mundane activity. So mundane activity need the third type of see, sashna see, means they are just the way they are. That's why they have this, what they call condition or desire, not to say condition, the desire to go. Maybe they see a lot of TikTok. Nowadays TikTok, a lot of people go Chongqing, I was told, China. Pama Sui told me, I think, flooded with people, Chongqing. Everybody after seeing TikTok want to go. Not Pama Sri, was it Jinhao? Alicia, Alicia. So, all these TikTok got great influence. But good and bad, you know how to appreciate. Actually, a lot of fun also. Because now, the TikTok, the way they make it, very short, not like our short video. A lot of people go and listen. But the TikTok more short. But very interesting, when they come out. That's why TikTok can become so popular until American also. Big portion of their population get so interested in TikTok. Okay, we go on. Continue.
3. Thought is like money, and money is neither good nor bad, nor evil, because good and evil depend on the user. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money or thought will also become evil. If user of thought has wisdom, then thought becomes right and wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. Hence, do strive on with heedfulness to develop the right view and wisdom more and more. Part 3. Meditation 3.1. Commentary on three turnings under Theravada and Mahayana. Father Teo explained that the three turning of the Four Noble Truths given in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana explanation compared to Theravada differs a bit. The problem with most cultivators is they cling on to the first turning and never get down to the nitty-gritty of the second turning, where all the hard work is. For more details, please refer to email number 4, page 9. Of Brother Teo's email compilation notes on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha.
This one comes from the email I wrote to the Dhammasuka group in US in the early days. Then within the discussion, I sent this tree turning over where they cannot understand. Then one lady, I think, don't know from which country, I forgot already. She very wise though. He said, the problem is, they listen to all this first turning, but they never move over to the second turning to contemplate, reflect, and stabilize their understanding. So second turning, the purpose is, after you have listened, and nowadays maybe including reading, and seeing, watching the video and all things, then you learn the basic understanding. But all this has not stabilized. So second turning is, you try to develop the contemplation, then the inquiry and reflection, so that you can assimilate all this that you have heard. And before you assimilate, you must stabilize all this Dhamma under the first turning that you have heard. Stabilizing it via contemplation, reflection, and inquiry is very important. Then only you can assimilate it into your nature. You understand? That is how second turning is to be developed. Means, after you heard first time, like you study a subject, especially science subject, physics, so new, so technical. And when I was in Form 4, I remember a lot of my classmates, especially ladies or girls, wow, they're scared of physics. Or no? But I naturally like physics because I can understand physics very fast. So they came and talked to me. Hey, physics, you understand? I said, okay. Then they say they want to borrow my notes, understand? Not? Because it is a new subject, understand? Not? So if it's new, what will you do after that? The first lesson or first period that you attend the physics class, you sure like catch no ball, understand? Not? Come back blur. So what you do? You go and open your book, understand? Not? The physics textbook. Then you try to read. Still cannot understand. No? Then what you do? You go and ask people. Like Sui come and ask me. Understand? The admas, all this thing. Or among your classmates, go for tuition. Or go for, we all call Dhamma discussion. You have group discussion. Then when you discuss, means what? You throw out the question. Is it? You inquire. Is it? You ask. Hey, you understand or not? You understand. Whoever understand, contribute, understand. Or not? But you can do it on your own, it's the best. You reflect, contemplate, then recollect. Birth is suffering. Then recollect the birth process. And then as you recollect, because you are now more mindful of the whole process, and then you will pick up, oh, no wonder the Buddha said birth is suffering. Because the birth process is not smooth sailing, understand. Or not? A lot of problem. So all this is what reflection and God. Then when you understand, really, you stabilize, then you can become a good doctor, understand? Or a better husband to understand the difficulty that the wife, the spouse have to go through to conceive the baby. And during the conception, how the initial first 2-3 months, morning sickness, vomiting, all those things, all these are not smooth sailing, understand? There a lot of things they want to eat, they cannot eat, understand? Then I was told the desire for food also habit change. A lot of pregnant lady who go through pregnancy, I heard a lot. They used to like certain type of food, mala, curry, during pregnancy they don't like. Because the baby inside one on a different type of food. So they go and look for the type of food and eat. Then when they conceive for longer period, the movement is no longer like before, no, agile and all things. So the danger of falling and miscarriage is very high. Understand? So all these are the reality that links to suffering. Understand? That's why the Buddha say, birth is suffering. Then when there is complication, when there is what they call problem with the birth, not normal, the leg come out first. the head didn't come off. Then they have to do cesarean bridge and all those things. So these are the contemplation. After you reflect and recollect, you have so much clarity and understanding of what that thing is. So then when you understand, that is the process of stabilizing the understanding. Then when it comes to birth, old age, sickness and death, is suffering, you understand. Then the understanding bring forth the second turning wisdom. The Buddha called Chintamaya Panya. Then after that, when you meditate, you already have this initial wisdom as a base, you transform very fast, you awaken very fast. So that is how the third turning, Bhavanamaya Panya, come about. Okay? Yeah, we continue.
The Tin Heart Sutra class, 1.1. Dhammapada verses on heedfulness, verse 21, 22, 23. Heedfulness means a mind that is constantly meditative and ever mindful to develop clear understanding and wisdom via seeing things as they are. Understanding the importance of heedfulness via understanding the following important Dhammapada verses. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 22. Distinctly understand this difference. The wise who intend on heedfulness will rejoice in the realms of the Aryas or the enlightened ones. Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful and the steadfast ones realize the boundary supreme Nibbana. Part 2. Hasutta lesson 13. 2.1. Dhammapada verse 1. Leads to suffering. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speaks, acts, and thinks with a wicked, unwholesome mind, that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof. Dhammapada verse 2 leads to happiness. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speaks, acts, and thinks with a pure, wholesome mind that is free of all the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. 2.3. Why is the teaching or Dharma as taught by the Buddha during his time becomes different as it gets passed down over the years? Question 1. Why is the teaching of... Oh, sorry. Then Brother Teo replied...
Go to the answer straight away.
Okay. Because the Dharma was passed down via using words and speeches which are verbal in nature, and as we all know, words are subject to various types of interpretation, hence the deviation. For example, when asked about what is the First Noble Truth as taught by the Buddha, more often than not, we get the standard and very popularly accepted answer. Life is suffering, and this is very dangerous, because the Buddha never said that. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a First Noble Truth that explained clearly what dukkha or suffering is, and according to Lord Buddha, there are 8 conditions in life or realities of life and existence that can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. There are the realities of birth, getting old or old age, sicknesses and death, when you are with people whom you don't like, when there is separation from your loved ones and your prized possessions, things that we hold on to dearly, when you cannot get what you want or when things don't go your way, etc. No matter who you are and how wealthy and powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all of these realities of life and existence. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering, and the cause is always craving born of delusion. This is the second noble truth. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be. Because there is a noble truth that explains the possibility of the cessation of all suffering in the here and the now. Then finally, the Buddha taught the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely Noble Eightfold Path. And if one cultivates this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all dukkha or suffering. 2.4 Important definition. 自在 meaning me in the moment, and it means at ease. 2. False thinking means heedless thinking. 3. One is not right here or aware within means lost in thought. 4. First pronunciation, 觉, means enlightenment. And second pronunciation, 叫, means to stir, 叫, to stir up trouble. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1, Training of the mind to be heedful. Two steps are involved. 1. Via mind sweeping method and metta, plus 6R, plus object of meditation. 2. Then finally, silence your mind to be heedful within by relinquishing the object of meditation. That is, mind is constantly meditative and ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. The mind sweeping method is very good and useful, skillful means to train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. And it also trains you to feel and not to think. Then you continue to relax whatever tension, tightness and stress within the location you feel, like your forehead, etc., to enable you to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to realize the tranquility, peace, quietness and calmness within when there is no thinking. Then your mind will be peaceful, at ease and without thought after deconditioning it from your habitual heedless thinking and worry, etc. 14th Heart Sutra Class 1.1 Life and existence following the five universal nature's order, Pancha Niyama. Within our conditioned world of life and existence, everything is conditioned arising, or they arise due to causal phenomena, following the five universal nature's law or order. Pancha Niyama, namely Uttu Niyama, Bija Niyama, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Hence, they exhibit the three universal characteristics of Anicca, impermanence, Dukkha, suffering state, and Anatta, non-self or empty nature. The first two are scientific laws, nature's physical law, Uttu Niyama, and nature's biological order, Bija Niyama. And the next three are nature's spiritual law, namely Kama Niyama, law of karma, Citta Niyama, law of the mind, and Dhamma Niyama, law of karma.
Law of Dhamma or truth. Dhamma Niyama.
Dhamma Niyama.
Law of karma, Dhamma or truth, as taught by the Buddha.
Understanding these five spiritual order or law implies having right view with regards to life and existence, and this right view will enable one to have great understanding and wisdom of our existential world. Understanding Citta Niyama will also enable one to understand how our mind functions following the 12th link or law of dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, as taught by the Buddha. The children of today are mostly second generation kids of the millennials generation, and nowadays parents, they are usually overprotective of this second generation children, and they also tend to over pamper them in the name of loving them, hence giving rise to all the related social problems. This is especially common in families where their family members lack understanding for having close relationship with one another. They usually lack harmony, and the family members seldom have the opportunity or line of communication to talk and discuss issues with one another openly, frankly and sincerely to resolve their life problems like relationship, health, career, and financial problems, etc. Do learn to play your role as responsible, good, and wise parent via cultivating and understanding the Buddha Dharma or great wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Then share them with your children to guide them through life. Your duties or responsibilities as parents are to provide for their basic needs like food, shelter, clothing, and education, etc. When they are young, and not to pamper them or be too protective of them. Advise them accordingly and then allow them to make their own decision in life because it is their life, and let them be responsible for their own life decisions and never force them or try to control them in any way that will cause them to dislike you or refuse to talk or discuss matter with you. Part 2, 2.1. Conditioned love and metta. There is a big difference between emotional love, conditioned love, and metta, which is universal love. An example of emotional love is the usual love or hatred relationship of lay people. One moment they will love each other when things go their way, and the other moment this so-called emotional love can turn into hatred, envy, and jealousy, etc. Then there is the other relationship between parents and children, brother and sister, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, good friends, etc., expressed as conditioned love that only exists because relationship bond, whereas universal love or metta is love without any opposite. The mind that has metta is always peaceful and happy, without any negativity. It is born of wisdom that enables one to accept the reality of the moment and always be at peace with the way things are, and one's heart is always full of metta. 2.2 Definition of terms. Samadhi, a mind that is collected, unwavering, and unmoving, with total understanding of the ever-shining or the Buddha nature. Wholesome master, meaning fully in charge. Mind is at peace, meaning mind that is heedful, silent, and unstirred. Dharma saying by Master Po Yuan Zhang Lao is quite similar. Xin Jing, still or silent mind. Wu Nian Si Zhen Xin, no thought is true mind. Dong Nian Ji Wu Ming, stirring of the thought is delusion. That is understanding, meaning wisdom. Outflows means defilements, evil roots, and delusion. 2.3. The eight worldly conditions or the eight winds or the four pairs of dualities are 1. Gain and loss. Wherever there is gain, there is loss. Before you have not. So what you have lost is only losing back what you have gained. We came with nothing and we go with nothing. Then why does one grieve over emptiness in between? 2. Happiness and sorrow. If you cling to happiness, sorrow will be the result because it is a conditioned world. 3. Praise and blame. Wherever there is praise, there will also be blame. 4. Fame and ill fame. The same goes with fame and ill fame. Note, do not cling to the eight worldly conditions. See the importance of cultivating the equanimity enlightenment factor needed to liberate the mind. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1, Purpose of Meditation. Deeper states of meditation are needed to allow the stillness and cessation to develop the stability via wisdom. The two main purposes of meditation are 1. To stabilize the silent and tranquil, heedful mind via a combination of relaxation, clear awareness, wisdom, and understanding. 2. To use this still tranquil mind to investigate clearly into all the Dhamma and phenomena both internally and externally within life to realize the wisdom and the enlightenment needed to free the mind. Brother Teo also shared with us his own cultivation and how he came out into the private sector to test himself in 1989. For details, please listen to the 14th Heart Sutta recording, dated 25th of May 2012. 15th Heart Sutra class 1.1. Mind is the forerunner of all things. According to the Buddha, mind is the forerunner of all things and mind made are they. Hence, through mental consciousness, we can perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness, all of the physical, mental and nature's phenomena within life and existence. Definition, anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena.
So this one is a very important definition. Anything perceivable by a mind is a phenomena. So phenomena doesn't need to be something that move or manifest. Understand not? Whatever the mind can perceive is a phenomena. Like when you perceive the Buddha Rupang, this external form, this is the phenomena through your eye consciousness. Understand not? It manifests already. So all the senses same. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. So whatever you perceive, I ask you a question. Is it permanent? Do you know your thought process, moment to moment, no, not continuous or no? The physics experiment last time you all got do before, no? The teacher asks you to, on a white piece of paper, on a white blank piece of paper, put a dot there. Then he asks you to look at the dot. Do you think your seeing is continuous? I try it. I realize certain moment, blank one. Understand? Every moment. So, definitely impermanent in there. Come and go. But you go by a conventional logic, no. Cannot be, till the statue is dead. How can it be impermanent? Of course, the scientific explanation, over time, it will decay. It will like go through old age, then finally disappear. But no need. At the moment of sense experience, you check. It arises and it passes away. So, any phenomena, whether mental, physical, or nature's phenomena, whatever you can perceive through your senses is a phenomena. So this so-called Buddha Rupang, that perceived phenomena, is it permanent or impermanent? Well, it held on by your thought through an image and so on. And that one come and go, so fast. That's why it's impermanent. The phenomena is not real. It's generated through your senses, understand not? Dependent, originating. Without your senses, a blind person cannot see, cannot perceive, understand not? So all this, you will develop the understanding. If it's impermanent, you attach and cling and want things your way, what happens? You suffer. Well, you want to maintain, like your new car. Polish until it shine, also same. But one day, like my house there, got bad. Swiss, nice car. The, what they call? That one called? Mini Cooper. The Mini Cooper. So nice, oh. But the bad car shit on it. Understand? Well, they like to stay on my Porsche there. They got food from opposite. So you cannot like sincere polish until it shine, then expect nothing will happen until no dust can alight. The bird don't care. Their shit also they let it align. Yes, that is the way phenomena is. So when you understand, then you realize it's impermanent. You want things your way, not in accordance with nature's way. You attach cling and have craving over it, then you suffer. But you can accept the reality of whatever, then you don't need to suffer. And because it's impermanent, is it right to say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine? Cannot. That's why it's the anatta nature. The empty nature means, the moment the mind shut off, or your eye closed, that creation is gone, understand not? Appear, disappear. That's why the Buddha said, consciousness is the greatest magician. You are a great magician. You open your eye, the whole of this meditation hall with all the things inside there, you created through your mundane consciousness. They exist. True or not? So real. The moment you close your eye, all this that you create through your own consciousness cease to be. Understand or not? Where they are dependent originating, condition arising. If you off the light, also a lot of things not so bright already, you cannot see clearly. Understand not? And you like, you need the condition for seeing to manifest. Like pitch dark. You got eye also cannot see, understand not? You need causes and conditions to see. That's why all this understanding, when you are mindful, aware, you can understand them. Okay, we go on. Yes. Can. Use the mic.
In the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha, I think it's verse 20-something. Buddha say this verse. If you look for him in form, and seek for him in sound, you will not see the Tathagata.
Yeah.
So try to emphasize what Brother Chiu said.
You know why the Diamond Sutta say that or not? Who is the Buddha?
No. He said, if you look for him in form.
I know. Who is the Buddha? Is that Rupang that you pay respect to? The Buddha? Definitely not, is it? But this Buddha Rupang, the Buddha say, you have to pay salutation, veneration. Means you pay your respect by recalling the real Buddha. Who is the real Buddha? Embodiment of all his perfection, his wisdom and virtue. And that is the spiritual nature of the Buddha. That's why when you recall to mind the Buddha, means you recall to mind his great teaching, understand not? The embodiment of his perfection, the wisdom, the virtue. That's why in the early days, I think in the 80s, late 80s, there is this commotion within the Buddhist community. You know what is a commotion? When they attack Afghanistan, you remember? They bomb all the ancient Buddha statue, big thing. Then there was the owner of this bar. It's a bar. They call the bar Buddha bar. They put a Buddha statue inside. Wow, all the Buddhists chabita. Oh, they complain around. Then I saw, how can this end? So I wrote an email out. Luckily, I wrote the email out. After that, all turned down. I said, if your faith can be affected by what people do to the Rupang, means you are not a true Buddhist. Who is the Buddha? The Rupang is not the Buddha, understand now? The Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection, wisdom, and virtue. And that one, nobody can take away, understand now? They exist in nature. How come you all become so panicked and want to make your point clear that as a Buddhist, I cannot allow you to do that? To me, it's nothing. Understand? Because they will reap what they sow. Understand? Do good because good, do evil because evil. They are just the way they are. Why you want to create all this unhappiness? Just because people do something to your belief system or to the entity that you worship. That's why we, as Buddhists, we always teach the Buddhist devotee, we are not idol worshipper, understand? We don't worship idol. We pay respect because we know he is a great being. That's why reverence salutation. Is it correct word? You pay respect. Huh? Reverential salutation. We don't pray. Understand? We don't every time bye-bye. Understand? We pay our respect, our reverence through knowing who the Buddha is. And this is what the teaching is all about. Not to be so conditioned by the knowledge, by the materialistic thing that actually created by the human mind, to think that that statue is what the Buddha is. If you mistreat that statue, you abuse that statue, then they come after you. Sometimes holy book also say, Manasa, somebody burn and tear or abuse. Wow, they all cannot tahan. But the Zen got an analogy, is that? Eh? What is the analogy? Huh? Emily, you can remember? The turtle. With the Tipitaka at the back. Behind the turtle. So all the living beings saw the turtle carrying the Tipitaka for so long. And yet doesn't know the Dhamma. No? But the turtle laughed back. No? Only deluded one. Those that are still not enlightened think the Dhamma is in the Tipitaka. Because that holy book are sutra that points toward the teaching. You need to cultivate it and realize it. But the real Dhamma is not inside there. That's why the Buddha said, he who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. That's not. And what is the Dhamma? His teaching, which is the embodiment of all his virtue and wisdom, that he perfected it. Understand? That's why I don't look at the form. Understand? Ananda was reprimanded. No? He looked at the 32 part of the Buddha. No? Wow. The characteristic, the major and minor characteristic, that the Buddha demolished him. No? Foolish one. He said, when you look at the Buddha and you every time attend to me, you think you are very near the Buddha. I got disciples far away, they are nearer to me. But they see the Dhamma, that's why they see the Buddha. You every day see my form, and I say, this is not the Buddha. That's all. This is conventionally you call him the Buddha. And I say, this is his Nimanakaya. You know what is Nimanakaya? Functional body that performed the function of the Buddha at that time. Then his perfection is a Sambhogaya Kaya. So underneath the Bodhi tree, when he connect, the Sambhogaya perfection came back to him from the spiritual nature. Then these two animate and make him a Buddha. That's why they call him the third transformation body, Dhammakaya. The kaya that teach the Dhamma. So Nimanakaya combined with Sambhogaya kaya manifests the Dhammakaya. And that is how you're supposed to understand it. Okay? Thank you for that.
So my point is, Lord Buddha is my teacher. If he says that, you know, you don't look for him in form and seek for him in sound. So
yeah.
Who am I? I'm just a student, you know, I'm just a nobody, and why should I make my form so important, right?
You cannot say that one doesn't belong to him.
No, that one belongs
to him. You listen.
Why do I grasp?
I understand what you want to say, but I have to explain this, otherwise you may not understand. Not to say that Nimanakaya doesn't belong to him. Is still considered one of his body, understand? Functional body. I told you what, the form and the mind is a vehicle and a tool. The functional body performs the function, take the Buddha around. That is linked to his karmic conditioning, form and mind. That's why that body also belongs to him, but not real, not him. Because his perfection is the embodiment of what he has realized. And that one is unique, understand now, in the Buddha nature. You cannot steal, you cannot take away by destroying the image, understand now. It's just like you destroy the holy book. You think Buddhism vanished? No! The Buddha already said the Dhamma was within nature before he realized it. The only difference is when he became a Sammasambuddha, he founded it, understand not? He realized it, but it was there all the time, understand not? So all this understanding, very few people can develop and comprehend. So next time, don't get unnecessary emotion. Try to be Buddhist, very Buddhist. People do anything to your so-called teacher, you be tahan, understand not? The Buddha never teach you to react like that. What did the Buddha tell you? There is a what Dhammapada saying, or a saying that even if the thief were to cut you up, you can remember. There should not be a moment of anger in you. Understand? Yeah, everything is.
King Kalinga cut Buddha.
No. Kalinga one is different. Different. That one is different. This one he told the monk, I think in the Jataka story, if I'm not wrong. If the highway robber or what should cut you out or what, you must not, if you are a true disciple of the Buddha, you must not have a moment of thought that have anger or hatred or envy or jealousy. Why? Things is just the way they are, that's all. They are robber, deluded, that's all. They do what they do, that's all. So you have the Dhamma, you have to accept your fate. There are causes and conditions behind. Otherwise, this thing cannot manifest. So now you can follow. Huh? Okay. Just now we got your point. Huh? Don't seek for the Buddha in his form and voice. Because that one is not the real embodiment of his perfection. Okay. Then we continue.
Paragraph 2. Contemplative wisdom can arise when you silence your mind to reflect, contemplate and inquire into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Be aware and mindful of all physical, mental and nature's phenomena within your daily life to see clearly their moment of arising is sustenance. Okay. And passing away of all phenomena, and to realize the penetrative wisdom born of bhavana, or cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. With the silent mind in pure awareness, one can be aware of all the vibrations and phenomena within one's form or body and mind. One will be able to perceive deeper into one's mind consciousness. All phenomena can be perceived via the silent mind, and it can also witness how they come and go, and arise and pass away, their birth and death, etc. Hence, realizing their impermanence and empty of non-self nature, you will see them everywhere, from your bodily vibration to your heartbeat, your pulses, feelings, thought activities, perceptions and consciousness, physical, mental and nature's phenomena, etc. You also have to silence your mind to see them all as they are. What you perceive via your mundane or thinking mind is not a real condition, because they arise via thought, which is response to memory. The reality or pure perception, which is before the knowing, is very different. Human beings have the tendency to react to sense experience because of ignorance. To solve human beings' problem or suffering, one needs the Dhamma. Life without Dhamma is not easy to cope. Without the Dhamma, there will be delusion and ignorance with regards to understanding who you are and what you are. Without self-knowledge, one will grasp and cling to one's five aggregates of form and mind, hence condition one's dukkha or suffering. Samsara or wheel of life within existence can also take the form of a man, and nature must harmonize. And there are the five universal laws or order that govern nature. These five laws, two of them are scientific laws, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama, and the other three are spiritual laws, law of karma, Kama Niyama, law of the mind, Citta Niyama, and finally, law of truth or Dhamma Niyama. When you have the right understanding or right view with regards to these five universal orders or law, which are like the secret of life, then you will know how to live life. When you know how to live life, you will know how to experience all the wonders and beauty of life. Then life will be very meaningful and beautiful. That is, true happiness is wonderful existence. Understanding the three right views with regards to the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, and the law of dependent origination or truffling is very important because it can transform your understanding of the Dhamma to enable you to live the noble life. Thought is limited and egoic, hence it cannot free you. True mind is only pure awareness without thought. As such, it can see things as they are without the conditioning. One will come to understand clearly that in the seeing there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That is before the knowing and before the delusion or sakaya ditti carries through to condition you into grasping and clinging onto what you see. Your craving or reactive mental intention is due to your habitual tendency born of wrong views. 1.2. Understanding thought and consciousness. Once we input the content of consciousness into our awareness, then consciousness becomes the thought. Hence, thought is consciousness plus its content. Initially, before the knowing or the arising of thought, there is just this spacious awareness. The moment you focus on something, you input the content of consciousness, then consciousness becomes restricted or limited and becomes a thought. Take for example, seeing. Initially, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. But the moment you are preoccupied with what you see and with without the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, then the egoic mind born of sakaya ditti or wrong view with regards to the atta or self has already arisen, causing you to grasp and cling onto what you see. Then your habitual tendency of likes and dislikes, or pleasant and unpleasant, will arise to condition your mental hindrance of mind to arise. As form is the product of thought, hence thought can see form, but form cannot see thought, because thought has got higher intelligence than form. Likewise, since thought is the product of awareness, hence awareness can see or be aware of thought, but thought cannot see awareness, because awareness has got higher intelligence than thought, which is limited and egoic. 1.3. Important inquiries for developing the meditative wisdom. 1. Are the feelings, perceptions, sankhara and consciousness that arises in you really what you are? 2. If feeling and perception, etc. are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you did not die? So who are you and what are you? 3. If the five aggregates of form and mind are you, then why did they arise in Then why did they arise in you? Part 2. Sakha Sutra Lesson 15. 2.1. Definition of terms. Profound prajna, wonderful wisdom of those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way, to become Sama Sambuddha. Superficial prajna, limited to the understanding of the four truths and the 12 links of conditioned causation as taught.
That one is a sainthood way, huh?
As taught at the Theravada level. Form Dhamma, perceptible Dhamma at the form level, first of the five aggregates of form and mind. Mind Dhamma, non-perceptible Dhamma, the remaining four aggregates of the mind, namely feeling, perception, activities of mind and consciousness. Need awareness or mindfulness to see the mind Dhamma. If one cannot see form Dhamma, then it will be very difficult for them to see mind Dhamma, which are much subtler and much less perceptible. Cultivators of superficial prajna can end the birth and death of their delimited segment body and mind, but they are unable to transcend the birth and death of fluctuation or the thought. They can be enlightened because they don't have ignorance. So at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness, but their mundane mind is still there when they are still in the midst of living life. Previous lives could be animal, beta, demon, devas, etc. Then this life, say you are a human being. So which one of these is you? None of them, isn't it?
Okay, before that, I need to explain this part. You see, the Arahant, like you say, there are 10 fetters severe, okay? But in Mahayana, they say, he realized Nibbana. But they say this type of Nibbana is like a manifested one. Of course, that is what Mahayana say. But more important is, they still got outflow. You know what is outflow or not? Once you are arahant, no more avijja. At the moment of death, there is no avijja. There's a rebirth consciousness, no more. But birth and death of the stream of consciousness, which is his thought, is still there, understand? That's why they didn't really end the whole thing, understand? They only managed to end the segmented birth and death. Mean that segment, no more rebirth, finish. But what is important is, as an understanding, if you take the bodhisattva away, if you have gone through the cultivation, you will understand why they say that. Because the outflow of thought, at the arahant level, the mundane mind is still there. It hasn't collapsed. Understand not? They are still here. But with the wisdom connected, they no more avijja, understand? But they already arahant, 10 fetters severed. And because of that, they will not take rebirth. We are ignorant. That's why they managed to cease what they call the rebirth or the segmented form and mind, means karmic process. Yeah. But when they are arahant, they still got outflow. The birth and death of thought, they haven't ceased. Which means they haven't gone into the nature through the gateway, penetrate this. And when this vibration become very, very fine, what happens is it will be too fine for the mundane mind to stay. Because this mundane mind by then is too gross. That's why it will collapse. It will drop off. Like a layer of consciousness. Yeah. That happened to me in 1989. So this one, very few people understand. Yeah. So you cannot blame the mind for saying that they still got outflow. Because really, the Arahant hasn't done this one and go in and cause the mundane mind to collapse. So there is no way they can have that complete cessation of form and mind that enable the bodhisattva to continue to illuminate this nature, then continue with the extensive cultivation and perfection to become Sammasambuddha and to realize what this ultimate nature is, the Buddha nature. Yeah. So this is the explanation. Okay? Okay, you continue. Tell me.
Part 3, Meditation. 3.1, Post-Retreat Sharing, 2nd to 8 August 2012 Meditation Retreat at Champaka Buddhist Lodge, conducted by Ajahn Achalo. Conditions are very conducive and the retreat was very well received by all. It had also benefited so many of them in so many ways. These were made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness, bhavana, and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat, and it had also resulted in such good condition for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative states and development of their 5 spiritual faculties. The conditions during the retreat are very conducive for good bhavana and wholesomeness training to set the base for our past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping to speed up our cultivation. Every day we chant, take refuge, renew our precepts, pay reverential salutation, maintaining quietness, do sitting and walking meditation and mindfulness bhavana, followed by listening to the Dhamma, strengthening our views, share merits, transfer and dedication of merits, offering and receiving of dana, radiating metta, Dhamma discussion and meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, come Dhamma sharing, etc. All these are very, very wholesome and meritorious in nature, and together with the non-humans, our collective group consciousness had created a very conducive environment which was charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesomeness energies to benefit so many of us, including all those who had one way or other contributed to the success of this wonderful retreat. This type of retreat is more intense and useful, hence the 5 spiritual faculties and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many of the participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Do not be complacent, otherwise one will lose this good state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living again. The ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating it into one's daily life is very important. The momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional bhavana and mindfulness training while having a very good and disciplined daily religious routine and daily awareness of mindfulness training are equally important. A good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day or strict devotional and bhavana training, i.e. once in the morning and once at night before one's sleep, followed by paying respect to the Buddha every time before you leave your house and every time when you return to your home. Maintain awareness of all your bodily actions and movement within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. This training of the mind in Kaya Nupassana is to slow down your heedless habitual thinking mind and not your actions and movement. Every moment of awareness or sati will help you to break the momentum of your heedless habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training. 16 Heart Sutta Class 1.1, Sense Basis, Contemplative Wisdom and Daily Mindfulness. The 6 internal sense bases are our 5 physical sense bases and our 1 mind base, and the 6 external sense bases are their respective 6 sense data or object, like color, shape and form for the eye, vibration, sound, music, noise, etc. for ear, etc. Upon contact of mind,
their respective sense door consciousness comes to be, and like the physics laboratory experiment of the light bulb, the switch and the battery upon contact, the light bulb lights up naturally. So in the same way, our sense door consciousness is also naturally conditioned arising, i.e. upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases and sense object, their respective consciousness comes to be. Contemplative wisdoms refer to the second turning wisdom called Chintamaya Panya, whereas the meditative or Bhavana type developed via cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness refer to the third turning wisdom called Bhavana Maya Panya. Wisdom is always linked to harmony. This is the reason why the wise ones are always in harmony and at peace with all things, no matter what happens. Sensual desire and ill will are the first two hindrances of the mind that will always arise when one reacts to one's sense experiences without wisdom. Reactions or stirring of the mind also imply disharmony where wanting things our way. Memory is useful for remembering one's house address, name and bank account and signature, etc., but not for grasping, clinging and holding on to our unhappy, sad and fearful memories of our psychological hurts and emotional past, etc. These scars of memory must not be clung on to, otherwise they can condition one's sadness, grief, sorrow and lamentation, fear, insecurities, unhappy emotion, etc. Memories should be left in the brain as it is, like the ROM and RAM in the computer.
ROM and RAM. IT people will understand. Read only memory and random access memory.
Okay. I.e. we do not cling on to it but only access it when we need to make use of it to perform certain useful and appropriate action or function. True or actual meditation only begins when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. That is when one is always aware and heedful throughout the day to investigate the Buddha Dhamma in daily life by cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness to truly understand who we are, what we are, how we function as a human being via self-knowledge, and how we become what we are via understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience, and how we are conditioned into various mind states of suffering due to our own delusion and ignorance. The silent mind in clear stable awareness or mindfulness will enable us to be aware of the sense door consciousness that arises at every moment of sense experience, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha Dhamma, like the Four Noble Truths, the Law of Dependent Origination, etc., as taught by the Buddha within our own form and mind, within our own form and mind, or phantom length body. This witnessing via the direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom leading to the awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now.
Okay, we stop here. We have to end because the alarm already out. So now is 1 hour meditation, awareness-based meditation for you all. So try to develop it. Maybe today I will read to you the second part. The instruction for awareness-based meditation based on my latest book, Ultimate Enlightenment to Transcend Life, is on page 5.1. Awareness-based meditation. We're off the light. Oh, never mind. You no need to read. I just tell you which page so that you go back and read. Well, now you're supposed to meditate. I read to you the understanding behind the awareness-based meditation. Well, earlier on, I read you the path to Nibbana one. This one is a complementary part. Yeah. When you combine the two, you understand better. Yeah? I leave my light on. Okay. Never mind. That one can off. Okay. Afterwards, I will off this one. Okay. So remember, this awareness-based meditation is very important. You must stabilize it. Otherwise, the real progress to do bhavana, maya, panya cannot arise. Okay, awareness-based meditation. Thursday class, 22nd February 2024 instruction. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the light for you to proceed with your meditation. This awareness-based meditation is very important because it can help us develop the inner awareness or sati within. There are four supports to develop this awareness-based meditation, and they are relax, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness, and trust. As explained previously, the silent mind without thought is awareness itself. So mindfulness is basically an awareness before the knowing. When you are aware before the knowing without thought, that awareness itself is sati, or mindfulness. Therefore, we need to develop that awareness and allow it to stabilize. That is the reason why the second support after relaxing body and mind is to maintain awareness. However, it is very difficult to maintain awareness for people who are new. Maintaining awareness does not involve creating more thinking or thought and the aggregates of mind. It simply means being aware of whatever arises at your six sense door, whether it's hearing, smell, taste, tactile, sight, or thought consciousness, and allowing them to pass through without further engagement. After that, refrain from continuing to think. After becoming aware, if you proceed to perceive and engage in thinking, the mundane mind will arise. If you constantly do that, it develops into habitual tendency, eventually leading you to become heedlessly lost in thought. That is the reason why maintaining awareness can be challenging. To maintain awareness means to refrain from thinking, knowing, and not going beyond the pure perception. After perceiving through the hearing consciousness or other sense bases, such as smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, simply remain silent and maintain awareness. Then let it naturally fade away. Just be aware without attempting to know or to engage in any activity. Relax, maintain awareness, and allow the mind to settle down. The third support following the relaxation of body and mind and maintaining awareness is to stabilize the awareness by continuously allowing it to remain in that state of awareness without thought. By doing so, your awareness will stabilize, allowing you to develop a very good and profound understanding of what this inherent nature, awareness nature within is all about. Realizing this pure awareness nature, which is beyond thought, is very important. However, this pure awareness nature is closely intertwined with thought. As thought arises very quickly from this pure awareness nature. This is why many people, lacking proper understanding, cannot realize pure awareness. They are accustomed to their mundane thinking mind and thought process. They rely heavily on the thought process, and they think a lot, as they have been conditioned to do so since birth. Without thought, they feel they are unable to function and live life. These factors contribute to why most people cannot develop the inner awareness to be mindful and to be aware most of the time. Understand this and you will make progress. Now I will allow you to develop the awareness within on your own. Remember the first three of the four support: relax body and mind, maintain awareness without trying to know or doing anything, and simply just aware, 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 and then stabilizing your awareness. For those of you who are accustomed to using specific object of meditation such as anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or any other object of meditation that you are familiar with to meditate, you can use it as a skillful means to anchor your awareness or mindfulness. It is your choice. However, if you can grasp the understanding, you can just use the four support that I have taught you, especially the first three support, to develop the mindfulness or the awareness within yourself. It is much faster. Then you can stay there to stabilize the pure awareness. If you can do that, you will progress and understand all the Buddha's teaching quickly. To be able to develop the mindfulness or awareness within is very important. To maintain the state of awareness means must stay in that state of awareness without thought for a long, long time, for as long as you can. But most people cannot do so. They need a lot of training and understanding to develop that state of mind or awareness. For those who have done before, it is very easy, not a problem at all. Hopefully with faith and this understanding, you can develop the mindfulness or the awareness within. Now I will let you meditate on your own to develop this awareness within. For those who have already trained their mind and their awareness has stabilized, they can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your inner nature to develop the meditative movement. Silence everything and let the awareness stay at the heart area. Then do not try to do anything through verbalization, or do not try to know and create perception and thinking. Just let that awareness nature move on its own and let it detect whatever on its own. Whatever happens, just let it be. You must trust your own awareness nature within to do the meditation. Do not allow the thought, the memory, and the thinking to interfere. All these are the mundane aspects of the thinking mind. The mundane mind is not your pure awareness nature. The pure awareness nature is responsible for the arising of thoughts. See it clearly so that you understand. When you train your mind to develop the inner awareness until it's stabilized, you can see all those movements, mental movements, very clearly. Then you will come to understand that you have two minds. One of them is the true mind or the silent mind or pure awareness nature within before the arising of thought. The other is the creation from the pure awareness nature by the karmic process. All these movements and the arising of thought are from the pure awareness nature. All this will become clear and you will develop clear understanding of them. The first real and successful progress for those cultivating this awareness-based meditation is to realize the awareness nature within. This awareness nature is your true mind, your meditative mind. That is the one that can develop wisdom and understanding, and it can be awakened. Use it to insight into phenomena, to observe silently, to develop the understanding, and to realize the inner awareness nature. Then stabilize it. Now I want you to repeat my earlier 16 November 2023 awareness-based meditation below. as they complement very well my above February 22nd, 2024 instruction. It can help cultivator understand this awareness-based cultivation better. Some part of the instruction may appear to be the same, as if repeated, but each time you read it again after you develop the cultivation, your understanding will become different. And with that new understanding, you can cultivate the stability of your awareness nature within more easily. Okay, with that, I will set the alarm then off the light so that you can continue with your awareness-based meditation.